Electrical power is one of those invisible things we all take for granted until we experience the chaos of not having it. You'll hear from Gareth Evans how his company Vecta is working on a revolution to make power more accessible, efficient, dependable, and cost-friendly for organizations all over the world on this episode of Making Our World Better.
Welcome to the Making Our World Better podcast, where you will find motivation and encouragement through lively conversations with inspirational people who every day are making our world a better place. Now, here's your host, Jay Clark.
Welcome to the podcast. I am Jay Clark, and I'm excited to have a conversation with Gareth Evans, CEO and co-founder of Vecta. Gareth is committed to a mission of empowering businesses and communities to make a global transition towards a more affordable, secure, and renewable energy future. Awesome. Gareth has been a leader his entire life, from working in charity and community organizations, leading sports teams to military operations. Gareth has parlayed these experiences into building teams and businesses who challenge the planet's greatest challenges and opportunities. He's now focusing on enabling companies to successfully navigate the energy transition. His time in Iraq following the Gulf War set his mission in motion. It opened his eyes to a world without access to reliable energy and other basic essentials needed to survive. He saw the impact that can have on stability of a region and the health and success of businesses and communities. Driven by this experience, he committed himself to find solutions that create profitable and sustainable energy outcomes so that we can all thrive. I can't wait to hear about all of this. Gareth, welcome and thanks for being here.
Appreciate it, Jay. Quite the intro. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start simple. And I touched on a little bit, but introduce us to Vecta and talk about your mission.
Yep. So Vecta is the source for on-site energy systems. And so we modernize and streamline how businesses can go about accessing these systems, as well as communities. And I'll start with just describing what an on-site energy system is, because not everyone understands that. But today we are all passive consumers of energy from our local utility, which generates power in the middle of the desert or a long way away from where we are, and they transmit it through large power lines to where we need it. And there's lots of points of failure in that infrastructure. The infrastructure is aging, it's becoming harder to maintain, and our energy demands are increasing all the time. And so we believe that actually generating and storing energy right where we need it, at our business facility, in our communities, in our homes, is actually a more efficient, more effective, more flexible, more affordable, more reliable way to generate and utilize power. So we facilitate people understanding what that is, what makes sense for them, and how they actually ultimately buy the right system for their needs.
Wow. There's a little bit to unpack there, but I'd love to rewind just a little bit and talk about your background just a little. And how did you make energy your vocation, and what kind of spawned the idea for Vecta?
Yeah, it's definitely been a wild ride. We have our own podcast called Renewable Rides, because every day is a ride. I'm a mountain biker, so I'm passionate about the journey that we're on. You can tell from my accent, originally from Liverpool, England. Studied environmental science.
Isn't there a band from Liverpool?
Yeah, there's a few little bands. I actually was never really a Beatles fan, but more an Oasis fan growing up, which is sacrilege being from Liverpool.
Love the Gallaghers too.
I ended up doing environmental science, and I was supporting major oil and gas companies around the world to clean up old oil and gas well sites, helping remediate and reclaim them back to their original land. And that actually took me off to Iraq. And like your intro described, right after the Gulf War, the industry wanted to move into the region and unlock the massive oil and gas reserves there. And so it was this kind of strange situation of, here I was helping facilitate getting access to power for our lifestyles in the West, and yet the local population was surviving on 2 hours of power a day because their infrastructure had been devastated. And when you're living in 120 plus degree temperatures and you're trying to get access to water and education and run your business and keep your home cool, that's all very hard with that energy. So really it showed me that, that energy is the lifeblood of everything. And
yep.
without it, bad things happen. And we were being mortar attacked most evenings. We were having to go out with personal protection teams because without that kind of industry and without access to energy, the it was still a very unstable region. So that inspired the journey. It made me want to create affordable, reliable, clean energy for all. And I was with the largest energy engineering firm in the world. I was leading their power consulting business as wow. a as my final role. I'm not an energy guy by trade, but I love building teams and businesses and turning ideas into actionable outcomes. And so we incubated the idea of Vector for many years within a large corporation, then realized we had to actually create our own business to make it work at scale in a independent way that would create value for many.
Fascinating. And I'm sure, you know, things like securing grids and everything else, there's just a lot of layers to all of this. And so when, you know, you hear terms like renewable energy or green energy or LEED and all this other stuff, how do you guys go about implementing, you know, cost-effective solutions for businesses?
Yeah, I'll give you two examples, actually. I think particularly for your audience on like the nonprofit and the community side, we just partnered with a group called Launch Alaska and the Department of Energy. And for many communities in Alaska, they survive on diesel generators, which is one, expensive, trying to buy diesel, two, trying to transport it into very remote places, three, it's dirty, it's noisy. So what our platform is going to do for communities in Alaska is help the communities come together, identify and design and clean energy systems to replace the diesel gensets. Why we're unique is we have the ability to look at all technologies, solar, wind, batteries, fuel cells, hydro, and we're able to actually look at how does the community use energy? What are their priorities? Is it cost reduction? Is it cleanliness? Is it resilience? We design the right system for them. And then we've built a marketplace of thousands of suppliers who then compete for winning that work and deploying that work. On the business side, very, very similar process, but we're typically working with large companies who have many sites around the world, and they really don't know where to start, what's possible, who to turn to. And so we help them prioritize, where should we build a system? What should we build? Who should we build it with? And that's all technology enabled through our platform. And as an example, like we just helped a cold storage warehouse provider in Northern California. They were paying over 25 cents a kilowatt hour for energy. And we just got them bids that will get them energy for just over 7 cents a kilowatt hour. So they can cut their energy prices by, you know, almost 60%, which is unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I would think that a part of this has got to be, you know, when you're in different places, just things like regulatory and technical challenges and all that have got to be a big reason that you can help people navigate all of that.
Yeah, I'd say actually, candidly, most businesses have never really thought about energy up until the last few years. Like it's such a massive cost on their balance sheet, but it was a cost that was always fairly stable. Typically, businesses will spend between 5 and 40% of their daily budget on energy. But it was steady.
Right. It was reliable, just a line item, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone just paid the bill and went on with their day. And now there's all these competing needs of now they've got annually escalating energy costs, which they don't know how to plan for. They've got more power outages to deal with. And they've got pressure from the capital markets, from their customers, from their supply chains to reduce their emissions. And that's a very complex problem statement.
If you've
never thought about it before, where do you begin? So we want to give them that. Yeah, we want to give them that trusted platform. We want to give them the tailored intelligence, the tailored data, the business cases, the insights, such that they can make informed and data-driven decisions. and we represent their best interests. We're completely agnostic. We're not trying to sell them anything. So we help them make the right decisions to ensure that they get the best return on investment.
Wow, that's awesome. And at the same time, helping them be more efficient, which helps the environment and everything else, right?
Exactly.
That's fantastic. So tell me, what are some of the greatest lessons you've learned since you've taken on this massive and super complex company that you started?
Yeah, I think there's loads. Every day is a Every day is a new adventure.
Right.
I'd say, first of all, you've got to have a mission and a purpose that motivates you greatly, because starting a business, creating a new category in the market, creating a new product for a new business, for a new industry, like, these are all very complex things, and it doesn't go to plan. And so you have to be resilient, and you have to always be able to tie it back to why you're doing it, what's motivating you. Because if you don't have that, I think it'd be very easy to get quite frustrated and give up on it, especially those people who are just chasing a book. Like, this is about making an impact, right. Making an impact isn't easy. So that would be the first big one. Being present and in the moment and just taking it step by step, having the plan, working the plan, understanding that you just have to keep plugging away and you'll figure it out through just sheer perseverance, and building an amazing team and culture and based on values. Like, we've got three core values at Vector: challenge limits, adapt purposefully, empower co-creation, and everything we do surrounds that. And so making sure that we have people who have their own aligned purpose, but then that we execute and perform and think about that all day, every day, deeply.
Wow, fascinating. I'm going to steal those, by the way. Those are awesome. So can you tell me, and this probably is not a fair question, but can you tell me a favorite success story that you've had? I mean, obviously, that's a great one with the place in Northern California. Are there any more like that that have just been great successes that you're proud of?
Oh, so many. Really great aerospace project up in Northeast U.S., they're able to reduce their emissions by 49% while saving $1.2 million a year in energy costs, and do that with a solar on their roof and in their car park, batteries, and a wind turbine. And so, like, these are incredible opportunities.
That's a great win for everyone.
Yeah, that's the thing. Wow. Like, these are win-win-win solutions. Right. And I think also what people don't realize, Jay, is they actually don't have to pay a penny for that, because someone else is actually willing to come in and finance the asset, build it, own it, operate it, and just sell them energy back at a cheaper rate than what they pay their utility today.
Wow.
And so there's lots of different opportunities. And for those that do want to pay for the asset themselves, the Inflation Reduction Act, for many of your listeners, if they're not aware, it offers incredible incentives for businesses and charities and non-for-profits to actually get incredible tax credits. Or if they don't pay tax, they can take the tax credit and then sell it to a business that can use it. And for many businesses, there's huge financial opportunities as well.
Fascinating. So what's great about this is all of these principles that you're talking about, they can apply to practically any business in any sector.
That's profit, right.
Nonprofit. That's fantastic. So, you know, as CEO, what are some leadership principles that you've picked up throughout your career that you really lean on in running Vector?
Truly having like a work-life integration philosophy. Like, in my mind, there's no such thing as work-life balance.
I agree completely.
Make sure that you integrate it all and that you have your own internal values and priorities and that you make sure that they all come together. I'd say making sure that you don't micromanage. For me, a good leader is a good common sense, practical operator who trusts their team, sets the right framework and principles, and then lets people run with it and get after it. I think that's really important.
Okay.
And I'd say just saying yes and figuring it out as you go, because there's lots of reasons to not do things, and that's for the big corporates out there. That, you know, they're built on the success of process and risk management. And the reason why we all exist is because we're here to disrupt that and be nimble and flexible and just figure out things by doing. And I think that's a huge opportunity.
So what would you say is a big audacious goal or vision that you have for your company?
I want every business leader in the world to think of Vector when they think about energy. We should be the Amazon marketplace of energy for business leaders around the world. So that's the vision. And for me personally, it's businesses today, but ultimately it needs to be every person on the planet should have access to energy, because with abundant energy, we can do a lot of amazing things.
And how big of a issue, and this might not be something that you guys deal with much, but how big of an issue is like security, energy security? Like, you know, we always hear, oh my gosh, the power grid is vulnerable or whatever. How big of an issue is that?
Yeah. Well, like there's 1 billion people around the world that still don't even have energy in the first place.
Think of that.
Yeah. And for those of us that do, like here in the US alone, $150 billion worth of lost economic productivity as a result of power outages. And power outages are just increasing in duration and frequency, because the grid is just, like, in many places, it's now 50 plus years old. And so there's not many areas of our lives or our businesses that we'd rely on 50-year-old equipment. And I think that's the reality most people don't realize. And so, yeah, it's becoming an increasing pain point for us socially and economically. And it takes many, many years to replace these big infrastructure projects. And that's why we believe on-site energy or distributed energy, smaller assets being deployed where we need it, is quicker, it's easier, it's more cost effective. So this is our ability to get things done without getting stuck in big bureaucratic large infrastructure projects.
Yeah. And then, you know, like you say, when you're doing these things on site, so you take so much control back, where you just, you know, you're just so much more in control of your own energy future.
Exactly. I love the word like energy sovereignty. Like everyone wants to have.
I love that term.
Everyone wants to have control over their own destiny, don't they? And there's actually nothing more important than having energy sovereignty, because then you've got complete control over your business and how it operates.
Right. And when you think about that level of loss, that's, you know, who would even think, oh, we lost our power for a couple hours yesterday afternoon. You start adding that up to a multiple of, it's 150 billion. That's just like, whoa.
Yeah, like even just, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago up in Chicago, British or BP, their refinery went down because a transformer, I think, blew up, and they were offline for 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
And you can imagine a big oil and gas refinery that's providing fuel for all our cars in all through the northeast of the US. Mm-hmm. Like the economic impact for BP alone would have been
ripple of that.
Tens, hundreds of millions of dollars. And then, and the reality is, there's, to replace that transformer, they'll have had to have paid a lot of money to get a replacement, because there's a backlog of 18 months right now for people to be able to buy these things from scratch. So the whole ecosystem is under pressure to deliver.
Wow, no kidding. So, you know, I'm sure the opportunities abound, and it must almost be hard to try and balance everything, but what really keeps you excited and energized about the future?
Yeah, for me, what's super exciting is I want us to shift from being those passive energy consumers I talked to about before to being active consumers, where we generate and store our own energy. But in the future, it's us all being prosumers. We should all have on our phones an app that is so easy to use that we're able to transact, share, donate energy. We're able to monetize our emission savings. We're able to use it like we would use any other utensil in our lives. And I think that's the opportunity. And if we make energy truly abundant, then it unlocks more AI options, desalination of water, more education, more access. Like the list goes on and on and on. So this is this is the reason we should all be quite passionate about it, instead of energy just being this mythical, magical thing that shows up when we flip the switch and we don't really know where it comes from or what it does or how it gets there.
I love it. So it feels like a revolution, and it feels like you guys are the tip of what needs to be a complete, almost mindset shift on how we look at energy.
Yes.
I love it.
And there's so many parallels, isn't there? You know, I think
what we're doing, all of what you just said in so many other sectors, why not in energy as well?
Exactly.
That's fantastic. Well, this has been super eye-opening and super inspiring, and like to change gears a little bit as we wind down and respect your time. So one of the questions I always love to ask is, and I'll be fascinated to hear what you say, and that's, what's something you will read, listen to, or watch today?
I'm training for a 100-mile run right now, so I get lots of podcast listening time. So mostly podcasts, and I've got a few favorites. CEO Diaries, probably it ranks up there as probably my favorite. That's the one that I'd regularly listen to.
Love it.
And actually, for those that maybe haven't checked into it, I use this app called Speechify. So if there's a news article or if there's a PDF or something that I want to listen to, you can just drop it into that app and it'll read it back to you. So you don't have to read it. I like Gary Vaynerchuk. I like listening to his stuff on the marketing side. And then High Performance is another great one for anyone that's looking for good content.
For sure. So can you talk about who's been a role model for you in your career and with what you're doing at Vecta?
Definitely mom and dad in terms of non-materialistic things, experiences over that, making sure that you're living your dream, doing things that make sense for you, not for what other people think around you. I think in terms of sports, it was always Michael Schumacher, his like ruthless willingness to just go above and beyond to get a win. And then on a day-to-day business side, I'd say it's like a merger between your Elons, your Gary Vaynerchuks, your Richard Bransons. It's people who are willing to think big, dream big, execute at scale, and take a lot of people on the journey with them.
Risk takers and change makers. I love it.
Yep.
So other than Vecta, is there an organization out there that you admire what they're doing or want to give a shout out to?
Let's see. I think I really like how Patagonia are constantly challenging, especially on the sustainability front. I like how they market, you know, you need one jacket for life. This is all about making sure we use good products. We pay one time. If we break them, let's repair them. Let's not just replace them for the sake of it. So I really like that mentality, and I like how vocal they are around their philosophies. So I'd say, yeah, Patagonia kind of stands out.
Awesome. Lastly, maybe most importantly, if people want to find out more about what you're doing, learn more about Vecta, kind of get in on this revolution that you're starting. I love it.
Yeah.
What's the best way to find you?
Yeah, our website's a treasure trove of content. So vecta.com, V-E-C-K-T-A. We've got a podcast called Renewable Rides. So we try and make energy interesting, engaging, understandable. So if you're interested in this industry, definitely check it out. And then for me personally, LinkedIn is kind of the best place to find me.
Fantastic. We'll put all that in the show notes. Gareth, I'll be paying close attention to what you're doing. I love that when you become the Amazon of energy, I'll say I knew you when.
That's awesome. Love it, Jay. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Gareth for sharing his vision for Vecta. This podcast was brought to you by JC Charity Services. Running a nonprofit is hard, and I'd love to bolster your efforts and help you thrive. You can find me at makingourworldbetter.com. To learn more about the power revolution Vecta is leading, visit vecta.com and find Gareth on LinkedIn. Check the show notes for links, and if you enjoyed this podcast, we'd be grateful if you'd share it with a friend. Until next time, I hope you're inspired to find a way to make our world better.